Hello everybody and welcome to the WWE NXT.net podcast. My name is Darren Guttridge, filling in for Zach Zimmerman this week because he's on the way to Montreal because some people have all the luck in life. He's only just got back from Japan and he's already jetting off somewhere else. It's just not fair. But before we get started tonight, I just want to point out this is an allaccess.net podcast. But if you like what you hear or you're a fan of all the written content on the website, then why not check out .net membership? Because with membership, you'll be getting ad-free access to the website, you'll be getting access to the membership forums, and you'll be getting a ton of audio made new every single week, plus access to every podcast and interview we have ever done. You have Jason Pell's flagship podcast, the .net weekly show, where he'll go over the latest in wrestling news and drop in a few things he hasn't yet quite put on the website. He'll be doing that with one of the fellow writers on the website. All of the special guests, such as a few weeks ago, he had on good old JR. And in my opinion, it doesn't come much better in forms of co-host, myself not included, than good old Jim Ross. And we also have the .NET Countdown show with Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett, where they go over the best and the worst things that have happened in that week of wrestling. And in my opinion, there is no better time to sign up than right now on the eve of the Royal Rumble 2015, which means the road to WrestleMania is just around the corner. And that means that on top of all the normal great audio shows we do, we'll be having a few special event podcasts, shall we say. For instance, this week's .NET Countdown show will be dedicated to Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett's favourite Royal Rumble moments, and Jason Pell, on top of his Sunday night audio review of the Royal Rumble, will be here on Friday with an interview with somebody who's been around a few, their fair share of Royal Rumbles, shall we say. And that, of course, comes with all the other great content we have, such as audio reviews of every single WWE pay-per-view, plus reviews of the TNA Impact, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, The Works. We really do strive to cover absolutely everything here on the website, either in audio or in written form. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, then all you have to do, go over to prowrestling.net. You'll see the sign up, the link for the sign up page on the homepage. Click on through and you'll be on your way to all of that great content. And now that we've got that sorted, it's time to move on to tonight's NXT episode that aired January 21st on the WWE Network. Just for those curious, us in the UK got the network, well, some of them got it earlier this week, but in actual fact, it launched cold on every device kind of the week before the WWE stated live date, which was January 19th. Still don't know why they felt the need to launch it with no fanfare. Very odd. I imagine it's just an internal cock-up, which wouldn't surprise me at this point. But yeah, they haven't scheduled the show to come on at a more appropriate time for a UK audience. It's still airing at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. on the WWE Network live stream. And I understand there's probably a few problems with, if they just have one stream worldwide, it's probably simpler for them. But it doesn't really help if, you know, people who want to watch NXT have either got to stop up late or watch it on repeat the next day, as I had to do today. I digress. Before titles, William Regal was shown sat in his office, and he announced the next NXT live special will be on February 12th, I believe. Let me just check Zach's notes. I believe it was early February, and I was correct. It is, February the 11th, I apologise. Live on the WWE Network, it will be NXT TakeOver 4. Hopefully it doesn't get some stupid moniker like R Evolution, which still makes me groan to this day. I still refer to it as TakeOver 3. Anyway, he announced that that would be the next live date, which I really do hope isn't a sign of things to come, that they're going to now step up the frequency at which we get NXT live events, because they have been really good. Like, the last one was nigh on perfect for a WWE pay-per-view, but the reason they are so good is because they are usually 3 months separated from each other, and that gives time to do better storytelling, build more anticipation and all that jazz. And that's part of the reason with the main roster is there's just too many pay-per-views that you have to hotshot book to get to your next one because it's only 4 weeks away. I don't want that to happen to NXT because it will hamper its kind of some of its really good points, such as the Sami Zayn story taking a year was necessitated by the lack of live events. They only had four by the time he got his title shot. So if you think that would have happened on WWE main roster, that's only 4 months. That's only one third of your year to get that storyline over. So hopefully this is just them trying to get a live event in the books before Mania season. But again, I would think they would want an NXT live event to happen over WrestleMania weekend, because what a pull that would be for the network to say we're going to have high quality NXT live special on top of all of the other Mania content. But I'm trying to marry logic to WWE 2015 booking, and that's just not how they roll. William Regal also announced that there will be a number one contendership for Sami Zayn's NXT title that will play out in the build-up to this live event, and that starts tonight. After titles, Sami Zayn's music played, and he came out, but this wasn't dancing, fun time, happy Sami Zayn. No, no. This was angry and pissed off Sami Zayn. He stormed to the ring where Ty Dillinger was waiting to be his opponent, but Sami Zayn just got in and started beating the crap out of Ty Dillinger. The crowd didn't kind of turn on Sami Zayn, as you know, you may expect just reading about this. You may think this is like a Sami Zayn heel turn or something, but it actually makes a lot of sense, because this has been coming for a while. He has been bested by Kevin Owens twice now, once at the after he won the title at NXT TakeOver 3, and then again last week after his match with Adrian Neville, which they recapped in a video package before the show opened. So this is kind of understandable that he's supremely angry at the moment, and he's just going to go crazy until he gets Kevin Owens. And to that end, he threw Ty Dillinger out of the ring after a few seconds, grabbed a microphone and demanded that Kevin Owens came to the ring. Instead of Kevin Owens, it was William Regal's music that played, and he came out. He kind of admonished Sami Zayn, saying, "What the bloody hell do you think you're doing? You can't just... Nobody can go around and just beat up people. I'm not going to stand for that." And people just don't demand things on NXT and get what they want. And Sami Zayn was livid, saying, I am not going to wrestle another match until I get Kevin Owens." And Regal was firm with him. He said, "You want to have a match with Kevin Owens, but it's not going to be for the title. He has to..." Excuse me. "Kevin Owens has to earn his title shot just like everybody else does on NXT." And Sami Zayn said, "That's fair, but he stands by his statement. He's not wrestling anybody until he gets his hands on Kevin Owens. So he asked for a non-title match at the live event on February 11th. And William Regal granted it to him. He said, "That makes sense. I'm going to give you what you want." And this just goes to show that this is why William Regal is the best authority figure in all of wrestling right now, mainly because he's not there every show. Some people might think that that's kind of a weak point, but it's actually his greatest strength. He's only there when necessary, and he doesn't show heel face. He's not a heel, he's not a babyface. He's firm and straight down the middle, even more so than Teddy Long ever was. He's neutral. He's Switzerland. He's going to be the neutral party in every single argument, like he was here. You'd expect a babyface general manager would come out, skip quickly over him beating up an unarmed, a defenseless man, and then demanding a title shot. And he probably would have given Sami Zayn the title match to Kevin Owens. Or if it was a heel, he would have made Sami Zayn jump through a few hoops like the authority does. But no, he just said, "You're not going to get that. Here is the compromise. Happy days." We then went to a quick advert, and when we came back, William Regal was shown backstage with the new roving reporter. They didn't mention his name, so tough first night out for him that he doesn't even get name checked. But he asked William Regal what just happened, and William Regal said, "I've just booked the match." And what did he say? Oh yes, that's it. He said, "Next week we will have the contract signing in the middle of the ring." I always hate contract signings because they're so goddamn predictable, but this is kind of going to be their first face-to-face interaction without, you know, fisticuffs. This is going to be hopefully some great promo work, because this was a really good promo from Sami Zayn to open the show. He reacted logically to a situation, which is a rarity in wrestling these days. He showed a lot of fire, a lot of you know, that kind of X factor that babyfaces need, that they can get angry, they can feel like an injustice has been done and they want to fight their corner. That's what you want in a babyface. And that's why the crowd didn't even slightly boo Sami Zayn. It might have been because it was Ty Dillinger, who's kind of a very marginalised person on NXT. Had he come out and beat up Enzo Amore or someone like that, they may have, you know, been a bit prickly. But no, they were behind him all the way. And Kevin Owens has yet to have a proper promo on NXT. He has one later on tonight, but it's still not a proper promo. So I'm, for the first time in a very long while, I'm looking forward to a contract signing. Right, it's time for our first match of the night, which is the opening round of the Number One Contenders Tournament. There's going to be 8 people in this tournament. Curtis Axel was out first, to a fairly low-key reaction. And then Finn Balor gets his usual, holy crap, Finn Balor's here, pop. His entrance was a little disjointed today. He was hitting his musical cues, but it was going back to kind of his weird crawling stage, which I thought we'd move past and got to kind of the zenith of what a Finn Balor entrance should be. Anyway, the match was fairly average, but that's just the going rate for Curtis Axel matches, in my opinion. Finn Balor hit the gas early. Axel took control for the bulk of the middle, and then Finn Balor just rattled off his interpretation of the 5 moves of Doom, which was running forearm, Pele kick, what did you have that? Sling blade, and then the double foot stomp from the top rope, and pinned Curtis Axel clean in about 5 minutes to advance in the tournament. I point out that he used the 5 moves, his 5 moves of Doom, because we were told that this is going to be Curtis Axel's kind of rebirth a la Tyson Kidd on NXT. It's also his second attempt at an NXT rebirth, because he was around in the kind of the start of this NXT rebrand when they were still trying to filter in some new guys, but the bulk of the show would be carried by guys like Tyson Kidd and Curtis Axel and the Usos. And we were told both on screen and off by Curtis Axel himself that this was kind of like his resurgence. He's going to go back to NXT, get back to his roots, and hopefully do a Tyson Kidd, which is now the adjective. He wants to find a new angle, find something new he can do that will then mean, which will translate to more success on the main roster, he would hope. But he's now lost, he's been back for 2 matches, he's lost both of them, and this one was pretty damn conclusive. I know they're pushing Finn Balor pretty strongly at the moment, but to hit 5 unanswered moves like that, with no attempts at a reversal or anything, it's kind of damning for Curtis Axel. I mean, I don't want to throw the guy under the bus more than I have in the past, but he, this isn't a great start. Tyson Kidd probably didn't win a lot of his matches early on, but that was the story, that he was losing, that it got to him, and that's what forced him to go heel. Curtis Axel already heel. He's a pretty boring heel. The new thing he seems to have added for his NXT run is he shouts in the middle of his matches. He's still terminally boring, unfortunately. So even though we're only 2 weeks in, I'm no more jazzed for the Curtis Axel NXT experiment than I was in the first place. And I wasn't jazzed in the first place, if I'm being brutally honest. But again, the right person went through. It's kind of important they make Finn Balor look strong at this point. So, sucks to be Curtis Axel, I guess. Moving on, backstage. Oh, they also named Finn Balor's finishing move the coup de grace, which I still don't know how to spell. So Finn Balor just likes to bring complex spelling to my life. I already had to figure out the keyboard shortcut to put this A with the special thing over the top. On now I'm going to have to remember how to spell coup de grace. Backstage, they showed, after airing a replay of the end of the Divas tag match from last week, in which Sasha Banks pinned Charlotte with a handful of tights, we went backstage to Sasha Banks being interviewed by Devon Taylor? Yes, that's her. And she said, basically, that she pinned the champion. She now wants a championship match, and she's going to get one tonight. And she said to Devon, any more questions? Flipped her hair in her face and said, I don't care if you have, and walked off. After this, we were shown Bull Dempsey kind of wringing his hands out, talking about his loss last week with to Baron Corbin, the very short squash match loss to Baron Corbin. And he said that he let a chance to step up on NXT slip away from him. That's not going to happen again. And next week when he faces Baron Corbin again, all that's going to happen is an entire arena full of people chanting, "Ball, ball, ball." Number one, he needs to get away from that chant because that entrance music is moronic. it really is. I cannot stand his entrance music. I wrote last week in my hit list that I actually have a little, not high hopes, but I had a glimmer of like, I think they could do something with Bull Dempsey, to the point where I was going to put him as my one to watch 2015 in my NXT awards. I was talked down from the ledge by the spoiler saying that he was going to lose to Baron Corbin in less than 2 minutes, which is not a good sign. But he cut a few promos last year that stick in my mind. And for a big guy, he's got a few tricks up his sleeve in the ring that I really like. But if he's about to be jobbed out again in less than 2 minutes to Baron Corbin, which I don't think Baron Corbin is capable of anything longer than 2 minute matches, it's not a great start to 2015 for Bull. And I may have been wide of the mark with my hopes and expectations for him over the next 12 months. You never know. If Tyson Kidd can turn it around and Bo Dallas can turn it around, anybody can. So, moving on to the NXT Women's Championship match. Sasha Banks was out first, accompanied by Becky Lynch, and then Charlotte came out by herself. Something happened before she got in the ring. I don't know if anybody else picked up on this, but it kind of speaks to this nagging feeling that I have that Charlotte is a terrible babyface. Both, either by design, probably not by design, but she has a few instincts that she follows that don't really speak babyface to me. For example, last week, or whenever it was, she cut a promo where she was kind of saying she was better than everybody else. But didn't insinuate that she meant she's better than everybody in the locker room. She insinuated that she's better than everybody. That's not things that babyface say unless they have a very certain charm that Charlotte does not have. And here, this is only a very small thing, but it made me giggle. A fan was asking for her T-shirt as she took it off on her way up to the apron. She took it off and a little boy, I think it was holding out his hand saying, "Can I have the T-shirt?" Charlotte was stood next to the barricade and could have just literally let go of the T-shirt and it would have fell into his hands. But she kind of threw it into his face. I don't think she was intentionally, launching this T-shirt into this poor kid's face, but she kind of just, handed it to him, violently, and it smacked him in the face, and then he grabbed it. Again, it's a small thing, but a babyface wouldn't throw their T-shirt into somebody's face from point-blank range. They would hand it to her. Again, she's learning. She can learn these things, not to throw T-shirts in children's faces. But I digress. And we had the second match of the night, Charlotte versus Sasha Banks for the NXT Women's Championship. The match didn't really get going before it kind of all broke down. Charlotte ended up on the outside with Sasha Banks. She punched Becky Lynch, went back inside the ring, and then Becky Lynch followed in and started beating on her to cause a disqualification. Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch started beating up Charlotte before Bayley ran down to make the save. She still has her left knee in the knee brace, resulting from the attack on her knee a few months ago now. Yeah, a few months ago. She cleared the ring and then was stood there. The referee was trying to hand the NXT Women's Championship to Charlotte, and then Becky kind of, took it off the referee and stared at it a little bit. Charlotte demanded it back and kind of snatched it out of hands. And as Charlotte was kind of turned towards the entrance ramp to shout at Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, you can see Bayley kind of gin herself up. And all of a sudden, she turns Charlotte around and gives her the hugplex, which kind of popped the crowd. And then she stood there. She didn't run away or continue attacking Charlotte. She just kind of stood there in the ring. Before it could all kick off, William Regal again came out and announced that at the live special Takeover 4, we will be seeing a fatal four-way match for the NXT Women's Championship. The first time I believe we've had a Fatal 4 NXT Championship match, but this is the first Fatal 4 NXT Women's Championship match we've had in NXT's history. And it will be Charlotte versus Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch versus Bayley. Kind of the four heavy hitters in the NXT Women's Division right now. In fact, I think they're the only people in the NXT Women's Division right now. Am I forgetting anybody? There's Blue Pants and Enzo's friend. What's her name? I digress. How can I remember Blue Pants, but I can't... Oh, Carmella. There we go. See, Zach's usually here to remind me of all the things that I forget. But unfortunately, he's in Canada. Anyway, they kind of, like, jawed to each other before we cut to black. I'm really excited for this match. And it again speaks to the strength of the women's division in NXT that I am so jazzed for something that if it happened on the main roster with any four choice divas on there, that would be a fast forward match. That would be a I need to go get my food match. But this is a big deal for me at least going into the next live special because all of the kind of moving parts are gelling really well together. Sasha Banks has kind of been, you know, the thorn in Charlotte's side for a while now, so she's kind of established as her nemesis. It's okay for her to be there. Becky Lynch is, of course, Sasha Banks' best friend. They still haven't really explained why they're friends outside of some vague, oh, she gets what she wants and I want to do that too. Becky Lynch is arguably one of the most solid women's wrestlers in the world. And, of course, then you have Bayley, who I think is NXT's true babyface diva. She has a lot more babyface mannerisms than Charlotte, and I'd say they're on about par with audience reaction. They both generate the same amount of noise, but Charlotte's still kind of got a few murmurs in her pop, whereas Bayley is pure cheers. Everybody in Full Sail loves her. And I think the pop that greeted Sami Zayn when he won the NXT Championship, there will be a similar one should Bayley ever overcome the odds and win that NXT Women's Championship. For what it's worth, I don't think it will happen at TakeOver 4 because I think if you want, you know, Bayley to overcome the odds, I think it actually works better in a singles match than in a fatal four-way match because that way there could be a fluky win for Bayley where she pins one of the other two and not Charlotte. So Charlotte can kind of either get out the door and get to the main roster without the title, which would be a mistake, by the way. She's not ready quite yet for main roster. Or to carry, you know, turn into a new feud where it's Bayley versus Charlotte. I think Charlotte retains, just so I can call it early. I think she's going to walk out of NXT TakeOver 4 with the championship. Okay, what is next? Yes, we went backstage to Kevin Owens sat texting in the middle of the locker room. A little bit odd, considering that Sami Zayn has sworn a blood oath to go and kill him. You'd think he'd be, you know, either driving away from the arena or hidden somewhere, not just in the middle of the locker room texting, not having his wits about him. The new NXT backstage roving reporter guy came up to him and asked him about his thoughts of what's going to happen next week. Kevin Owens just quipped, do you even work here? Which made me chuckle a little bit. The guy assured him that he did, and Kevin Owens said that whatever he has to say to Sami Zayn, he's going to say next week at the contract signing. So we went back out to the arena for the third match of the night. The Vaude Villains came down, and their opponents, Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy, were already in the ring. And this was kind of the surprise of the night for me, because although the Vaude Villains controlled pretty much all of the 4 minutes that this match happened over, with about a minute left to go, I believe, Buddy Murphy got the hot tag to Blake, who came in, really took it to Aiden English. And after a quick referee distraction where he was trying to get Simon Gotch out of the ring, Buddy Murphy kicked Aiden English's head through the ropes, and I believe Wesley Blake just rolled him up. Yes, he did. He rolled him up and got the 1-2-3 for the shock victory. I don't think anybody really saw this coming, considering how Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy have been treated as jobbers so far. Just after this, we went backstage, and they were celebrating in the backstage area, and the new Roman reporter guy came over and said, "Is this the biggest night of your career?" And they seemed taken aback a little bit, but they said, "Well, it is here on NXT, but this isn't the end. This is going to be our year." To that end, they challenged the Lucha Dragons to an NXT Championship match for next week's show. And there is an old adage that Jim Ross has said, where he says you need to maximize your minutes whenever you're on TV. And this speaks highly of Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy, because though they've only been in about four or five matches, they have had some even though they've lost pretty much all of them, they've had some standout matches, especially with the Lucha Dragons. They had one of the best NXT tag matches we had all of last year on what was a throwaway non-title match in the middle of the show. They had a really good outing, so they've maximized their minutes, and they kind of, they think they may have earned this kind of hot shot up the card just because the Lucha Dragons need somebody to feud with, and now they've kind of really been done and dusted with the Vaude Villains. There's only really Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy left, unless you count Ty Dillinger and Jason Jordan, or Enzo and Cass, I suppose, but since they're both babyface teams, I don't think they'd be mixing. Having said that, Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy have come off as babyfaces. Doesn't matter. So yeah, I'm excited to see what they can do next week. Hopefully they give them a fair amount of time, regardless of the outcome, because they need more tag teams right now. So even if they have a competitive loss against the Lucha Dragons, that'll do wonders for the division, just because there's another player on the scene. You know what I mean? The Lucha Dragons have someone new to play with, and that's great. And I believe that leads us to... It does. The final match... Oh, for next week, they announced we're going to have Adrian Neville versus Tyson Kidd and Baron Corbin versus Bull Dempsey in the other two opening round matches for the NXT number one contender championship, number one contender tournament. Getting my tongue twisted. And, of course, we'll have the contract signing between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. This led us to tonight's main event, another opening round match from the number one contenders tournament. This time it was Tyler Breeze taking on Hideo Itami. And I thought this was a really good main event. The kind of end of the match... Oh, they also announced that Blake and Murphy's match with the Lucha Dragons has been accepted as a title match for next week. Down the stretch, we had a lot of really good near falls. We had Itami hit a fisherman DDT and got a two count. He also hit a... What else did he hit? Oh, sorry, then Tyler Breeze hit a wicked super kick, the supermodel kick, that I thought was actually going to end the match, but Itami kicked out. And it just kept kind of ramping up from there. Breeze whipped out a new crucifix slam. That was really nice. A little awkward in the setup, but turned out really nicely. And in the end, Itami kind of fired up and hit Breeze with his rolling single leg drop kick is what Zimmer's described as here. So I'll go with that. And beat Tyler Breeze in about 10 minutes to advance to the semi-finals of the number one contender tournament to face his... usual tag team partner of Finn Balor in the semi-finals. What a match that has the potential to be. As I said, I thought this was a really good match. I think it's Tyler Breeze's best match in months because he's kind of just been going through the motions. They hinted that his feud with Marcus Louis is going to continue because Marcus Louis was shown kind of staring at him from underneath the Titantron. They were slightly subtle about it, but Rich Brennan was kind of like, I saw somebody, and Corey Graves kind of blew him off. So yeah, that seems like a feud that's probably going to carry on. It may play out at NXT TakeOver 4. Not really looking forward to that because I haven't really seen much out of Marcus Louis that that has me excited for his return. But at least at least it's a storyline for Prince Pretty, and that makes me happy. So yeah, this was Prince Pretty's best outing for a few months. And I think, unless I'm forgetting something, this was Itami's best singles match. It's certainly his most smooth. There was only, at one point, Breeze was picking up kind of into the pile driver position. And you could tell Itami was meant to, kick him in the face, but, kick his shoulders or whatever to break it up. But it seemed like he just caught Breeze square in the face with his ankle, so I bet that sucked to be Tyler Breeze at that point. But yeah, I think this is Itami's best single match of his NXT run, and that shows that hopefully now he's starting to get to grips with the WWE style. And even if he can't, I'm sure him and Finn Balor can throw together something really good when it's time for their semi-final match in 2 weeks, I presume. I would think that with the other first round matches going on next week. And that does it for this week's episode of NXT. It was a pretty quick episode. There was nothing really that felt like it was unnecessary. This was a very well put together show, and that just kind of shows that they have got a quick turnaround to manage for the first time because the live special is so close to the last one. But as much as I don't like or at least I think I'm not going to like the step up in frequency of the live events. I must say, if this is the standard of their kind of quick booking, this was really good. They had a really good main event. The opening match was so-so, and you had an upset victory in the tag match, which is good for the tag division, which has kind of been dying on its arse for a good long while now. And you had, what was the other match? Then you had the Divas match, which set up something down the road. So, all killer, no filler, really, to use a cliche. And that's good for NXT. I don't want this to happen a lot, but it shows that, you know, whilst most of the time they can kind of do, their build can be likened to a boxer trying to, you know, he knows he can get to the 12th round and win on points. So he's going to take his time. He doesn't have to rush. This was kind of going round one, swinging for the fences. We've got to get this stuff done. We've got to get it out and get to the next live event. And they did it better than the main roster tends to do it. And they only had an hour in which to do it. So hopefully they carry this momentum through to next week and beyond. Because we've only got 3 weeks to get to the next live event. So they've got a lot of, they haven't got a lot of time to build everything. So I presume we'll have Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn as the main event. We'll have the final of the NXT NXT number one contenders tournament, the women's fatal four way, some for the tag titles, probably some for Tyler Breeze and Marcus Louis, which is five matches. I can't remember how many they had on TakeOver 3, but I don't think it was any more than five or six, unless I'm misremembering it. So they're pretty much already there in terms of the blueprint for that live event. So I think they can do it. Again, I don't like it in principle, but right now this is working for me. Anyway, that will do us for tonight's NXT audio review. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, if you liked what you hear, then feel free to go over to .net, prowrestling.net, click on the membership sign-up page, and go from there. And you can get this with your usual host, Zach Zimmerman. You get Raw audio reviews, SmackDown audio reviews, TNA reared its head again with Hayden Glee's coverage of this week's episode, and all the stuff I mentioned at the top of the show. You can get all of that plus many more, and it's just about to get to WrestleMania season, the ideal time to sign up for .net membership. Hope you enjoyed listening, and I will speak to you again.